Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi. Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. I'm your host, T. Morris, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, no noob, you stay in chat, don't worry, it's not that kind of crime, Chuck Tomasi. Chuck, how are you today?
Undomesticated equines could not keep me away.
There we go. Wow. We're starting off hard, everybody.
Going deep with the Stargate references.
That's another thing I found in my archiving. I found all this stuff I downloaded of snippets from the Stargate SG-1 soundtrack, and I'm like, oh my god, I forgot how much I love this music. Anyway, that's another topic for another time, Chad. Right now, we are talking on episode 17 of Podcasting for Dummies, speaking directly to your peeps. Now, what exactly do we mean by that? Well, it means what we're doing right now. You know, you heard me talking to Noob in chat, who is an Alabama State Trooper. You hear me talking to people in chat. This is what we are going to be focusing on in this particular episode, is soliciting feedback and starting discussion groups and different ways of building a community.
Engagement.
Yeah. Engagement. The E word, the buzzword that everybody loves to talk about, engagement. So Chuck, when it comes to engagement, what do you define as engagement? How do you define the big E word buzzword that we love to toss around?
It's easy to think of a podcast, especially if you're one person podcast doing a monologue, that you're just throwing your voice out there and maybe hopefully someone will hear it and like it. But the engagement piece gives you that feedback loop. Is it working? Is it resonating? Yeah. And there's so many different ways of doing that with social media, with directly in your podcast, asking for maybe a challenge question. Or we put something on Facebook on Saturday and then put the results on our podcast on Sunday. So we've got sort of a community being built with different ways. So I like to think of it as having that. It's a protracted conversation, but it's a conversation nonetheless.
Yeah, I think it's that's when you feel like you're actually making an impact. You're making a difference. You're actually reaching an audience when you get that feedback. Podcasting, don't anyone tell you different. It is a very lonely place sometimes, because you sometimes feel like you are in a void.
Especially at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, you know, even today when I stream, I have seen it. I have watched it happen where I've watched my audience go. And this is in the early days when I had 5 viewers, then I had 3, and then 2, and then 1, and then a big fat 0. And I've been told by people, this is why I don't want a podcast. This is why I don't want to stream. I don't want to stream my content because I don't want to start over again. And I always wondered if that had to do with the fact that, okay, you have to rebuild a brand new community, or you had to reach out to a new audience, or was it just that feeling that you have when you first start off, when you feel like you're podcasting to a void? And that's just one of the growing pains of podcasting.
It is, and my best recommendation is stay positive, keep that energy up as if you're talking to 300 people at the same time.
Absolutely.
Whether it's 3 or 300, I've done the same thing on the same stream, is watch that number decline almost to nothing.
It's like, and it hurts.
You can't let those people that are still watching feel like you just, you know, your grandmother just died. Unless that's your topic, of course.
Well, yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, you know, keep it up, because there's also the people that are going to be watching that afterwards, and nobody likes a Debbie Downer, let's be honest.
And I got another good one for you too. This is where I think engagement, and while you should always consider yourself, you're on, whether you are streaming or whether you're podcasting, you're on. Probably one of the best moments I've ever had on Twitter of any kind of engagement on any kind of content I've created was, I took a screenshot this beautiful screenshot from the video game Ghost of Tsushima, and it was a it was a picture of my character, and it was he was watching a boat burn in the harbor, and it was in Kurosawa mode, so it was all real earthy and black and white. It looked beautiful, and I posted this and I said I this game never stops impressing me and how beautiful it is, and I posted that, and I got a reply from the For Dummies people. And it said, reflect on dummies. And that is what you do in the game, is whenever you're doing a haiku, it says reflect on. And he said, reflect on dummies. I don't know who was manning the account that day, but I was like, this is gold. And those are the kind of engagements you want to go for. Or just those wonderful engagements that you don't see coming. And that you cherish that moment because they're in the moment with you. But one of the ways that podcasts reach out for engagement is probably the most the most interactive, which is voicemail, and there are all different ways of getting voicemail. There are all different kinds of services that are now online. I'm still using Google Voice, and I love using Google Voice, but what you do is you basically throw out that number. Like, for example, our number is 703-791-1701. And that's our voicemail. And at any time, you can drop in questions about podcasting, about content creation, and we are more than happy to address them here on Podcasting for Dummies. And sometimes I'll have my voicemail inbox will be full. And there'll be other times where there is stuff there, but it's usually a pre-recorded number that's basically telling me to improve my tax income, something or other.
Or home financing.
My car's warranty, something like that. I don't know.
Or just some rogue fax machine beeping at you.
Exactly. And you take the good with the bad. You really do. You really take the good with the bad in that respect. But I think voicemail is... voicemail is terrific because that is the second closest thing to what we're doing right now with live streaming and with Twitch and with chat interaction that you have, is that you actually have a voice that's talking to you and saying, hey, I heard your show. Here's some thoughts I have about it. And I have a question about XYZ. What about you, Chuck? When it comes to Technorama, where do you feel like you get most of your interaction?
Most of our interaction, like I said, is through Facebook. Craig has a scheduled service. He puts in a question of the week, goes right to the Technorama account, and then both of us will share that. Oh, it's Saturday. I should probably look for that and share it. I always forget. That's why we have a service to do it.
Exactly.
And then we put that into our question of the week. We read the question on the previous episode. So people still can go to voicemail, email, whatever. But we find that the most interaction is where those people will see it pop up on their screen. And it says something like, you know, what's your favorite movie quote? Or what's your favorite opening theme music to a podcast? Or just some random question. Usually, I swear Craig steals these from a Reddit subreddit somewhere. But people somehow engage that. And even though... we don't, and many of the people that respond to those are not even podcast listeners. You know, my sister? Probably not. But we throw it in there anyway. And we'll say, hey, my sister came up with a clever answer. But she becomes part of that ecosystem, as well as the listeners, because we post it to the Technorama page first, and the people will see it there and respond to there. And it's like, hey, Steve from Sweden piped in and said... And then he also gets a shout out when we get to the Patreon people too. But we'll be mentioning that in a later episode.
Right. So one of the other things that I would be curious about though is we have a section in the book about online forums. Now, does Technorama take advantage of an online forum? I know that I don't. As a podcaster, I have a different method, which I'm going to be winding up to in a second. But does Technorama have their own online forum? And
we used to, but it sort of went by the wayside. Mm-hmm. It just didn't garner enough traffic, and honestly, it was another thing for us to maintain. So you have to budget and prioritize your time, like social media. Am I going to do Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn and Instagram and Snapchat? And, you know, it's like, honestly, I got a
limited bandwidth.
Two or three of those. Right. Yeah. You've got limited bandwidth, so you have to prioritize. And the forums, we tried several times on several different platforms and just didn't see that level of engagement. That's not where the people wanted to meet us, so we let it go.
Right. So I think that is actually that is in part to the direction social media has taken. I mean, I remember when online forums were I was a member of several of them, and they were like rabbit holes that you would constantly lose yourself into because one thread would beget another thread, which would beget another thread. And it, after a while, I mean, I know for a fact I lost several afternoons just trying to get caught up on just a few threads in these massive forums that I was all part of. It is still for me a real sore spot of contention when I'm trying to get technical help, when I want to talk to someone in tech support and they point me to a forum and I'm like, please don't. Please don't, because
that's when you've got a successful forum when it runs itself, when the community is having those discussions,
right?
And the owner moderator doesn't need to step in on every thread,
right?
Manager Tools has a community like that; they have for years, and it's a wonderfully vibrant. I was participating a lot in the early years. My roles changed and whatnot. I also, here's a flip of that: at work, we have a very vibrant community, and the point of that community is really to offset the customer support calls.
Right.
To be honest, if you can post something in the community and get an answer in an hour, as opposed to putting in a ticket and waiting for some customer support person to get around to prioritizing it and routing it, that could take a day or two or three. And a lot of the technical people don't have that sort of time. Like you said, you want that immediate response. And we have thousands of people in the ServiceNow forums that are community that are eager to help. There's gamification. They're all over the points. They want to promote themselves. But I also take advantage of that when I drop in a developer podcast. It goes into a specific sub-forum that I say, hey, the latest edition of Breakpoint is out there, and I can garner some listeners and some feedback around that. So you can reverse it if there's already a community out there. Maybe you don't have to run it. It could be something related to your topic. I'm sure I wouldn't go out to, a Star Trek forum unsolicited and drop in the latest edition of Topic is Trek is out.
Yeah,
so
and
you want to work with those people if you're going to do that, if it's not your property.
And that's one of the things that I've noticed about online forums is that they really had to crack down on that, because since we're talking about the early days of podcasting and the stuff that I came across, back in the early aughts, I remember that was one of the advice that some rather unscrupulous types gave, is like, if you really want to publicize your podcast, just sign up for a bunch of different forums and just tell people when you got a new podcast live. And I'm like, you can't get away with that now.
That would be like dumping it in a Facebook group.
Exactly.
You'd be banned from the group immediately.
Or going onto Twitch and promoting your stream on someone else's stream. You know? And that was the thing, is that that trend lasted maybe a year, and then moderators caught on to that. But one of the other things I would say about online forums is that because of how we're consuming social media, you know, not necessarily by just a wall of topics, then you pick the topic and then you follow the feed within that topic. Now it's more closer to how people track topics on Facebook and on Twitch and on Twitter. They find one specific reply, they find one specific posting. This is leading me towards cultivating a podcasting community on Discord. And yeah, 100% transparency, I am the author of Discord for Dummies, but I do know that my own community, based around my podcast, be it this one, be it Happy Hour from the Tower, any kind of podcasting project that I'm on, my community is based in Discord. And what we try to do is we try to have discussions, and I try to solicit questions from Discord on podcasting so that we're not necessarily waiting until the day of recording, where I can say, hey, I was asked by this question, I was asked this question, and here's some of the stuff. And sometimes discussions on Discord will inspire topics to be talked about on podcasts like what we're doing right now. I think Discord is they're still the new kid in town with podcasters, but I'm seeing more and more podcasters say, hey, I'd like to continue this discussion. Let's continue it on Discord. And while you may hear people say, you know, when they try to describe Discord, I think one of the best descriptions I've heard for it was Discord is Facebook for gamers. I think that's partially true. I think it's more like social media for content creators. And that sounds redundant, but what I mean is that it's the same passion and the same drive of communication and conversation, but with a lot less noise. Mm-hmm. I'm finding that a lot of times my signal is drowned out by some of the noise that's generated by Facebook. Like for example, when I got the new job, people were saying, "Wait, you were job hunting?" It's like, "Yes, I've been job hunting for over a year now." And if you've missed it, then that just tells me how reliable the signal is on Facebook.
Demand streaming every 20 minutes. Nobody, unless that's your job.
So there's that. But I mean, you know, along with social media, and you know, since we're talking about social media and Discord, the thing that I would want to make sure that we would get across in this podcast would be you can't be everywhere. As we said earlier, you have a limited bandwidth. So focus on where your audience is. Like, I know Chuck just mentioned LinkedIn. Now, I know for a fact my audience is not on LinkedIn. So the stuff that I'm generating for myself, like, for example, you know, the stuff for Happy Hour from the Tower, I'm not going to post that on LinkedIn.
Yeah, there's a lot of people on LinkedIn who do play Destiny.
Exactly.
Or Destiny 2.
But
that's not the theme of what that forum is all about.
Exactly. Now, as far as this podcast goes, yes, I would expect us to post, "Hey, we've got the latest Podcasting for Dummies episode up," because people on LinkedIn are podcasting. They're actively podcasting. And if they want to improve that.
And podcasting is very prevalent in the commercial and enterprise space.
Yes. It is now. It is now.
It's been trying for a long time.
Man, has it been trying for a long time. But the other thing is that, yeah, we all know where our audience is. Like, I wouldn't advertise that we were going live on Snapchat. I would not. Because to me, that's like I'm throwing a message out there and then it's lost in the breeze. I would not post this on TikTok. I would not put. Yes, I admit I'm an old man on TikTok, so get over it. Anyway, would I put something on Facebook? Maybe. Would I put something on Twitter? Absolutely. Would I put something on Instagram? Absolutely. Because I have found in my travels that when I stream something, most of my audience is coming from either Twitter or from Instagram. Are there exceptions to that rule? Absolutely.
Yep.
When Pip and I last at the last weekend of this recording, Two weekends ago, Pip and I celebrated the 10th anniversary of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, the very first book, Phoenix Rising. And we posted something on Instagram, we posted something on Twitter, and we posted something on Facebook. So there was an exception to that because we knew that a lot of our readers were on Facebook. And again, it's about knowing where your audience is. Now, we were saying, where do you find your audience? That's the thing. You have to know first where your audience resides. If you're doing a business podcast, you're going to be leaning towards Facebook. You're going to lean towards LinkedIn. If you're doing something closer to like entertainment or gaming, you're going to be looking at Twitch. You're going to be looking at you're already going to be on Twitch, but you're also going to be on Twitter. You're going to be on Instagram. You need to understand less about demographics and more about audience. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, Chuck? Do you have anything to add? You want to add to that?
Yeah. The purpose of each forum. What's it about? And don't forget, you still have a blog out there. Hopefully you all have a blog that's going along with your podcast. You can garner comments from that too and say, hey, you can always leave a comment on our website at podcastingfordummies.com. Ding. There's
on it.
I would have done it myself, but for whatever reason, my sound effects are not working today. I'll be on that this afternoon.
When in doubt, go analog, baby. Go analog. That's what I say.
So, T, what do you do when the comments are not always so positive?
So I wanted to, before I got into that, before I got into the but this is also related to when the positive when the search for positive feedback is less than. One thing you don't want to do, and we did touch on it earlier, was going on to other people's podcasts and other people's channels and other people's platforms and promoting your podcast. You could get away with that in 2005. You could sort of skirt around it in 2006.
And again, there's exceptions to that. If you've been invited onto somebody's podcast or stream, that's different.
You know,
hopefully they'll be nice hosts and say, give us a plug. Where can we find you?
I mean, here's a perfect example. The first time I learned about this, when I was first getting into streaming, I saw another streamer in the chat, and I said, "Hey, I saw you streaming earlier today. How did your stream go?" And it was a perfectly innocent question. They responded to me, "It went well, thank you." And then immediately I got a whisper. And the whisper was from that person. And they said, "How long have you been on Twitch?" And I said, "Well, I've been doing this for, a couple of months." They said, "Okay, then you probably don't know." And this is one of the reasons why I wrote the book, Twitch for Dummies. I wanted this down in writing, which now desperately needs an update. But they basically said, even if you ask another streamer in someone else's stream about their stream, it could be interpreted as a setup, where this streamer would get this person to come in and go, "When you see me pop up and stream, ask me how my stream was so I can promote it." That's how convoluted a lot of the promotional streaming thing, how bad it is to promote your own content and someone else's content goes. Now, if the host of a stream or the host of a podcast invites you to pimp, you pimp.
Right,
you go
right.
ahead and you talk it up. But
so it's very much like any other forum. We used to do this years ago on bulletin boards. Yeah. If you remember dial-up bulletin boards.
Oh, yeah.
The idea was read first, learn the culture, learn the etiquette, what is proper, what
read
is
the
not.
Room. I mean,
and we still, feel the room. We still get people on our work community that beg for points at the end of each post.
Right.
Literally,
right.
I mean, the guy at the top of the leaderboard who surpassed me at the beginning of this year, I was at the top of the leaderboard for 4 years. He finally passed me up. He has on the end of everyone, "Be sure to like or mark this helpful or correct answer."
Right.
And it's like, no, you only do that if they said thanks for the answer, but didn't hit that button.
Right.
Then it's appropriate to say, "Hey, would you mind?" Because it's helpful to others to know what the right answer is.
Exactly.
But I'm a little off topic here, but the idea is learn the etiquette, learn the protocol so that you don't make that faux pas and possibly get banned or blacklisted for something that, so it's in your own best interest to learn what works and what doesn't before you, dive in deep and engage.
I mean,
don't be that person.
Yeah, it's no different than when I advertise that I'm going live on stream and within like seconds, someone says, "Hey, promote this on such and such and so and so on Instagram." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, no, I'm blocking you and I'm reporting you because that's, again, you're promoting your stuff on my thread."
Yeah.
And I know that I've talked about this in my own streams as well. There'll be people that are saying, "Hey, I'm just about to go and stream over and such," and I'm just sitting there going, "That's great." And I'm chill about this because I'm the guy that wrote Twitch for Dummies. So I'm kind of leaving it open that if people have questions about streaming, they can feel free to ask me. But keep in mind, if you do that on someone else's stream, that's a quick Insta ban right there.
It would be like you're sitting in a big hall and T. Morris is just taking the keynote stage.
Exactly.
"Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome T. Morris." And some schmuck from the audience jumps up and goes, "Hey, I have a podcast too."
Exactly.
In fact, you would throw that joker out.
And it has gotten so convoluted and so minute in the details that now, once upon a time, I could, before Twitch for Dummies was written, I remember a time where people could say, "Hey, what advice do you have for streamers starting off? What's the best way to grow your audience?" You'd see that question quite often. Now, if you drop that into someone's stream, you could get Insta banned because That is a way that people are now trying to fish for viewers. It's saying, oh, this guy must be a streamer. I'm going to click on their name, go check out their profile. I'm going to give them a follow. And again, that it's a real underhanded way to do it. So when it comes to, so that is one thing you got to avoid is promotion when it's non-solicited. You don't want to be that podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be that person that is constantly. Now, granted, if you're on someone else's show, you're there to promote yourself and to promote your podcast, obviously. So that's fine. But don't make that a green light for every podcaster out there. You've got to judge it going from one to the other to the other. And if people say, hey, it's a self-promo Wednesday, drop the link to your podcast, then by all means do so. But again, you just have to be careful. Sorry about that. You just have to be careful of when and where to promote, which brings us now to when people are spamming stuff in your stream, whether it's people spamming stuff on your blog, spamming in your voicemail box, or if it's just, you know, as Noob said, constructive criticism versus trash. If someone says, "Man, you guys suck," okay,
go on.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you.
And, there's no substance to that. But if right. they say, "Hey, T's volume is a little low,"
can you how would you fix that? Or if they would say something along the lines of, "Well, you mentioned something about finding your podcast on iTunes, and iTunes is no longer a thing. It's now Apple Music." It's like, right, yeah, you know, when you can back your criticism up with facts, and more yes. to the point, if you can back up those facts positively, that's one thing. You know, I've said before on people's streams and stuff, just because that I'm the guy that wrote Podcasting for Dummies or Twitch for Dummies, I'm not going to tell you how to do your podcast. Now, if you ask me for an opinion, I'll give you one. If you're doing something really off topic, I will tell you, but I will try to tell you not necessarily in a public forum. I'll send you a message. I'll send you a DM. I personally prefer to do it that way. It's all in the approach. And yes, there are going to be people that are just miserable in life, and they're going to want to drag you down with it. And those people are the reason why you have a block button. What about you, Chuck? How do you handle less than favorable comments? How do you handle that?
I put on my professionalism pants. I have to. It being the image of the developer community that we have at work. We're having a conference this weekend next as we record this. It's the middle of May, mm-hmm. and we've got a two-parter. And I got some feedback about the first week. On an open LinkedIn comment, this person just decided to go off and say, you know, there's not enough live comment. The stuff that I found is blah, 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 blah. You know, not a very positive comment. I responded. I was tempted to take it down, but I responded. I said, "Thank you. Sorry, you know, that's your impression. However, we do have lots of open, free, live content on this channel. I invite you to go take a look. And don't forget," this is my way of saying, tell it to someone who cares, "don't forget to fill out the survey, because that's where it's going to do the most good, not on some buried LinkedIn comment."
Right, right. And again, you know, that is the other way that I tend to approach feedback, and I tend to approach content. Is if I'm giving feedback, I'm really putting myself in the mindset of I'm in a crowded room and I am approaching this person one-on-one. How do I say this? And
exactly.
And especially
if my mother was standing right next to me, how would I say this?
How would I say this?
If my boss was standing right next to me, how would I say this?
Now, I will say this. One point of caution for any podcaster. If you don't want people to feedback, if you don't want to just deal with feedback of any kind, then don't solicit it. But if you say, "Hey, right. tell us what you think, 703-791, and all that," and then you say something and we go, "Well, let me tell you how you're wrong, dumbass." No, that's not the way to handle feedback. Okay.
Right.
I have had people, as I mentioned as I mentioned off camera, I've had some incredibly weird feedback on some of the YouTube content that I've been producing. And the stuff that I've noticed is when they say stuff that is absolutely and factually wrong. and I have to ask myself, is this person worth my attention? And if I want to just leave the comment up there to make them look like idiots, yeah, sure, I'll do that too. But for the most part, when I hear people say, well, don't ever read the comments, my thought is, no, you should read the comments. Because exactly. for every one jerkwad that you got to deal with, there are at least five different comments where people go, you know, I didn't realize XYZ. I didn't know that I could get better sound manifold by doing XYZ. And I really do think that making sure that you make time for the feedback, good and bad. And again, as Chuck said, putting on your professional pants and saying, because we all know during podcasting, pants are optional. But when it comes to comments, you should always have your professional pants on. Because
even
then,
video streams, you can only see from the waist
exactly,
up.
Exactly, from the waist up. This leather seat's feeling pretty good, Chad, I'm just going to say.
Careful.
But the
absolute, if you don't solicit, then you're going to miss those gems.
Right.
And the ones that I absolutely live for, that just totally change my mood every day, are the ones when somebody says, thank you for the videos. You've changed my career. I am now doing blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh man, those are just absolute gold. If right. I get, you know, even one of those every couple of years, I'm still going to keep producing content. They're a little more frequent than that now, thank goodness.
Oh, sure, sure.
The last one I got, I sent it to my boss. She sent it to the senior VP of marketing. He sent it to the chief marketing officer. And every one of those people in the chain responded back to me. It's like, cool? I mean, by the time you get it up to the chief marketing officer, it's like a one word that says hashtag purpose.
Yeah.
But that's gold for your career if you could do something like that.
And that's gold for you as a content creator, because then people are responding to your content. You've reached people, and now you've got a loyal listener, and that loyal listener will beget other loyal listeners. It's a matter of patience, and it's a matter of making sure that you can take the good and with the bad.
I love Macaro's comment on there. He says, completely factually wrong comment, insert Luke Skywalker. Amazingly, every word you just said was wrong.
Exactly. 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 You got to learn when, as Kenny once said, you got to learn when to hold them and when to fold them. So in closing, Chuck, what else would you have to say about reaching out and finding your audience?
It's part of the DNA of podcasting. I mean, keep in mind, at the heart of it, podcasting and live streaming is a social media. Let's make it social by keeping that conversation going with voicemail, with blog contents, with forums, if necessary, Discord, whatever it happens to be. Find your channel and where those people are. It may be multiple channels in some cases, and foster that community, foster that conversation, and you will have a much more enjoyable time as a content creator. It will start out slow. Don't expect people to come running in droves. But you will get that over time.
Just remember these wise words. Before Welcome to Night Vale was Welcome to Night Vale, they were Welcome to Night Vale. Okay? Just, we all start at the same spot. All right? We all start at ground zero. One step at a time, you're playing the long game. And we'd love to hear about your adventures with finding your audience. We'd like to hear your feedback. We'd like to get your questions. So by all means, reach out to us at 703-791-1701, or you can reach us at podcastingfordummies.com. You can also leave us a comment on our YouTube channel, and you can also leave us a comment in the corresponding blog post, again, found at podcastingfordummies.com. Remember, folks, that Podcasting for Dummies is protected by a non-commercial, no-derivative, share-alike United States 3.0 license, and you can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. Everyone, thanks for watching and thanks for listening. On behalf of my partner in crime over here, Chuck Tomasi, pod on.